Christ holds our destiny. It's an open invitation. Our scripture comes from Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Thanks, Sherman. Few things I want to make a comment on before I start the sermon. Number one, I'm very thankful for the Sabbath school lesson. It has given me so many ideas for future sermons. So study your lesson and you'll be able to know where I got my information from. Number two, I'm a living example of the fact that we had no electricity this morning. I went into my closet and picked out a gray suit and grabbed a gray and blue tie to go with it. And when I stepped out of my car, as I got to church in the light, I realized I put on a green suit. So that's what happens when your electricity goes out. The other comment I want to make is I really appreciate the songs that you picked out for song service. They're both by Fanny Crosby. She died in 1915, so that's a little before my time. But I look forward to seeing her and talking to her in heaven to see what inspired her to write so many things. And we will have the inspiration that she had right in front of us, which is Jesus. So with that said, let's get ready and start the sermon. Dear God, thank you for all that you have given us, especially your Son that has died for us to give us this chance to be with you for eternity. We don't understand this full love, but we want to believe it and accept it and look forward to being with you forever. In thy holy name, amen. This sermon today is a discussion about discouragement. How do we as Christians deal with discouragement? Despair, depression, which is something we all battle with and is one of Satan's best tools. We will see how Christ used encouragement in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. So you can turn to your Bible and follow along. He uses that to show us how to overcome discouragement. You can divide discouragement into two categories. One, by things that happen in us. And number two, by things that are happening around us in the life of others around us that discourages us. We will also talk about being courageous, because as you know, to be discouraged, you are without courage. God tells us as he did to Joshua, be thou courageous, do not be afraid. Discouragements, despair, depression all comes from the enemy. The devil wants you to give up hope. To discourage someone is to rob them of hope. And Christians ought to be great encouragers, amen? A lot of people are so beaten up by the enemy, down and out, circumstances in their lives that we cannot see, and by our own words, we can be the means that either pushes them over the brink or saves them from self-destruction. Yes, we want to help save them. Only in eternity will we appreciate how important the little words that we speak are. In everyone's lives, maybe just a smile or a word of encouragement. The Bible tells us that as the children of Israel were right at the borders, right on the edge of the promised land, ready to cross over, waiting expectantly for the report of the spies that they had sent to look over the land. But when the spies came back, they gave a discouraging report. And they, by their discouraging words, disheartened the rest of God's people so they couldn't make it into the promised land. Do you see the application for you and me? We can say things to encourage others, like Joshua and Caleb said, "We are able. Let us cross over right now. God has provided for us and He will fight for us." Or we can be like the 10 faithless spies and pull the rug right out from under people so they give up and don't make it to the promised land. Our words are very important. I want to give you an example of how encouragement can make a huge difference in one's life. I had a teacher that had a knack of encouraging the kids. This lady would give us little kids a pile of crayons and tell us to color some flowers, trees, birds, or animals. And there was this little boy, and when he would color, his picture would look like the crayon was shot out of a shotgun against the paper when he got done with it. He brought that to Mrs. Gray, and she would act like she was seeing a Rembrandt. "Well, look at that." Now, when this little boy first came, he had this cautious look on his face. What is she going to say? You know, little words mean a lot, and these little ones are important to Jesus. She said, "Wow, look at that. Look at those lines. Look at the color." And she had so many things to say about that mess. The boy's face began to beam and brighten, and he would go back to his seat and scribble on another piece of paper. And you could just see how a few words changed him. She gave him a big hug and said, "You are great. People's lives have been changed by just a few words of encouragement, or they have been cast down." I know, I was that boy. I have since learned that beyond stick figures, I have no artistic talent. But then, wow, I was encouraged. Be careful what you say. As Christians, it is easy to be negative and critical. It comes naturally. We are more inclined to give bad news. My dad drilled it into us boys. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Amen. Boy, did I hear that a lot. We need to practice to never, never say anything bad or negative, and that not only helps others, but it helps you also tremendously. Practice never saying anything negative. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 5, 1-11. A lot of people are discouraged, especially men, when things go wrong, wasted energy at work, failed business, even to the point of despair. Women, when their families fall apart, they become very depressed and discouraged when relationships fail. And men, when their business falls apart. Now, Peter was a fisherman by occupation. In fishing, you need to be persistent. You will have your good days and then your bad days. Verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's Galilee, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Empty nets? Evidently, Peter, James, and John had fished all night long. They were tired, grumpy, exhausted, and had nothing to show for their work. Read on. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Simon Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus was demonstrating that the boat could be used not only for fishing, but for preaching for men. Now when he had stopped preaching, he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught." Now this is very unusual, because even today the fishermen in Galilee fish at night. And they fished all night, and when you don't see any productivity in your work, you get discouraged. This is a story for all of us. He said, "Launch out into the deep." And Simon, answering him, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." "Okay, I will try one more time, Jesus, at your word." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. They beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. What a change in luck.
Amen.
Hey, Steve Tilly, have you ever sunk your boat because you caught too many fish? What made the difference? Peter had been so completely discouraged, everything seemed to have failed. He put down his net one more time, probably just to make Jesus happy, and everything changed. How quick did Peter go from complete discouragement to overwhelming joy? Probably seconds. Things can change very quickly. Now, do you get discouraged by circumstances for financial problems? Do you realize that this was a financial problem for Peter? No fish, no money. Do those things sometimes discourage you? I would like you to take your thumb and forefinger and pinch yourself. If the one next to you is sleeping, pinch them too. Pinch yourself to realize this, that the fact that you are here now is God's provision for you for the course of your life. Whenever I get discouraged and I think that situations have gotten out of hand, and there are cases when it becomes real bad, but more times than not, we get discouraged over things that are not nearly as bad in reality as they are in our perception. And the fact that you are now here is a sign that God is taking care of you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, "Do not be like the Gentiles who constantly worry, 'What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear?' After all, these things is what the unbeliever seeks. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will give the necessities. Sometimes he will make you wait and test your faith, but he comes through, doesn't he? And you know, something else that I discovered? That at the highest points, our life follows there's low points. The brightest spots in our lives often follow the darkest points. So when you reach the bottom, don't dwell there. Cheer up, because it is going to get good any minute. People who work the stock market buy them low because they know that they are about to make a fortune. That is also a warning. When you are at a mountaintop, you better watch your footing. Let, Let he who stands take heed, lest he fall, because sometimes the valleys follow the mountains. Life is filled up with ups and downs, but that doesn't mean you need to be discouraged by circumstances. Ups and downs come and go. They don't need to discourage you. Every day has its problems and challenges, but don't let them take away your joy. And I want to remind you that the devil can train us on how to make molehills into mountains. In most cases, we fret and worry about things that never materialize. Our minds can run away with things, and the devil is a master at planting thoughts, isn't he? And he will plant all the negative thoughts, and pretty soon things will get so built out of proportion, and we are discouraged. When I was a teenager, I developed some nodes in my neck, and one that stuck out significantly, and my dad, being a doctor, was very worried and thought the worst. So worried that little Luke was taken to OHSU 180 miles away for a complete physical and lots of blood tests, and that was scary and not fun. But when the test came back negative and the nodes went away in a few weeks, the needless worry went away. And my poor parents suffered for weeks beforehand, during the tests, and for a couple of weeks afterwards, and nothing happened. How often does this describe our lives? Things that tear us up and depress us often don't ever materialize. Did you know worry is blind because it cannot see the future? I want to repeat that. Did you know that worry is blind because it cannot see the future? And it is really not wise to worry about something that you cannot disprove. Some people quit and give up for no reason at all. In this story here, Jesus fills Peter's net. The boat is about to sink, full of fish, great economic boon. What does Jesus say when they get to shore? Leave it all and follow me. I will help you become fishers of men. One of the things I think that Jesus was trying to teach Peter through this experience was God can fill your boat anytime he wants to, and sometimes he doesn't because you and I need to learn to trust him. Most of the time you don't trust the Lord when your boat is full. You learn to trust God when your boat is empty. One thing Christ offers us Christians is purpose. We know where we came from, what we are doing here, and where we are going. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When people have nothing to hope for, they become very discouraged. We have talked about discouragement. Now I want to talk about the opposite, courage. Being courageous or encouragement. 2 Kings 13, verse 14, Elisha the prophet had a double portion of God's Spirit. He lived a long and productive life, but like most people, he got old and then got sick. Elisha had this sickness or illness of which he would ultimately die. Verse 14, then Joash, the king of Israel, came down and wept his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen of it. And Elisha said to him, stop crying, take a bow and some arrows. I want to point out, now all through this experience, Elisha never mentions his sickness. He didn't want to be the source of discouragement. He wanted to encourage. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hands on the bow. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Here, Elisha is sick and dying, and he is the encourager, putting his hands on the king's hands, a sign of support and encouragement, saying, God will be with you. It is incredible to think about, with all the misery and pain and suffering that Jesus went through, hanging on the cross, there he was nailed and helpless to save himself, and when the thief hanging next to him cried out and said, Lord, remember me, Jesus instantly forgot his own suffering and calamity and turned his attention to someone else who was crying out, Amazing grace. That's the picture for me. And he gave the thief courage. You will be with me in paradise. There he is on the cross encouraging others. Do you know why? Because someone was saying that they had faith in him. Does God always hear a prayer for help? Absolutely. Is Jesus always ready to lift up and encourage when someone says, Lord, remember me? Absolutely. And he put his hands on the king's hands, verse 17. He said, open the east window, and he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. This is a symbol of the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Assyria. You must strike the Assyrians at Aphex until you destroy them. Now you remember the children of Israel were discouraged because the Assyrians who had been surrounding them to the north had been pillaging their country, enslaving them, attacking them, and the Israelites were disheartened, depressed, and downright discouraged. So this message from Elisha the prophet was a message to say, you will be free from your adversary. Do some of you feel like you have been oppressed by the enemy? This is a message from the Lord for you. Then he said, take the arrows. So the king took some of the arrows out of the quiver. And Elisha the prophet said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. The king of Israel struck the ground 3 times, then stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Assyria until you destroyed it. Now you are only going to win 3 battles. You quit too soon. Do you know why some people stay discouraged? They give up too soon. They quit too soon. If we would just hang in there and not become discouraged for God, we would be encouraged. We as Christians need to be a very persistent people. We live by faith, not by sight. That means if we go by what we see around us, we can become very discouraged by circumstances. The devil can put thoughts in your mind. We got to live by what we don't see, a God who can encourage us because we are not looking at the evidence, but we are looking at him. Do you remember the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer? The Philistines had been oppressing the Israelites, and Jonathan said, enough of this. God is with us. He is bigger than them. Let us go attack. The 2 men are going against the whole army. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, don't worry. There's no restraint with the Lord. It is easy for the Lord to deliver with few as with many. What courage. Don't be discouraged by circumstances. He was looking at God. We need to hang in there and not give up. And when you are going through trying circumstances around you, don't give up. Keep on striking the ground with the arrows until you win. Amen? Maybe you are going through trying circumstances within you. How many times have you told God that you are sorry for something that you shouldn't have done and you do it again? You have become discouraged when you find yourself slipping into the same old sin. As a doctor, I tell people, please don't ever quit when it comes to bad things. Whether it is the enemy on the inside or the enemy on the outside, never, never give up. Trust in His mercy and forgiveness. Deuteronomy 31:6, our text for today says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one that goes with you. Why are we not to be discouraged? Because God is with us. How afraid would you be if you knew you were walking with God? You would have nothing to fear if you knew you were walking with God. What if you're walking with God and He said, I am going to be invisible for a while? We depend on what we see, don't we? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is why we should not be discouraged. What were the last words of Jesus before He was taken up into heaven? Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Be strong. Then Moses called to Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. How do you say Joshua in Greek? It's pronounced Jesus. Who did Moses say would go with you to the promised land? Jesus. Do you think that there is a symbol for you and me? As long as they stayed close to Joshua, they were going to make it. As long as you stay close to Jesus, you will make it. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people to the promised land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them. You shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Amen. Do you know what it means? Do you know what dismayed means? Discouraged. The devil is constantly trying to discourage you and me, and God is saying, don't look at the circumstances. Do not give up. One of my favorite stories during the Revolutionary War, there was a captain who had a very feeble American vessel. It was so feeble that it was named after a manuscript written by Benjamin Franklin, Poor Richard's Almanac. Not only famous in America, but Ben Franklin spent a lot of time as an ambassador to France. And in France, they had his articles over there, and they called it the Bonhomme Richard, which in French means Poor Richard. They named this captain's poor ship the Bonhomme Richard, Poor Richard. This was the only vessel this captain had, and he had to hold off the British Navy. Now, what did the British use to rule the world back then? They were known for their navy. And here is this ill-prepared, ill-supplied American Navy, all these little fishing boats converted into war machines. They had to head off the British Navy. And in one sea battle, the Bonhomme Richard encountered this very big warship named Serapis. This big British warship had lines of guns across the side, and they were loaded with cannons. And they broadsided each other and fired at each other until one of them would sink. And in one such battle, the Serapis was this big British warship, and the Bonhomme Richard were broadside, and for hours they shot at each other until pretty soon the Bonhomme Richard was on fire. It was taking on water. It was sinking. The deck was covered with dead and the dying, and pretty soon the British captain maneuvered his ship right alongside the Bonhomme Richard, and he shouted to the captain on the American vessel, "Do you surrender?" And then this captain said, "Do you know what his name was? John Paul Jones." He said, "Surrender? I have not begun to fight." That was the craziest thing that anybody could say. His ship was on fire. Water was coming in. The ship was going down and the deck was covered with the slain. And he said, "Surrender? I have not yet begun to fight." And a few surviving sailors on the ship were so inspired by the courage of their captain, they jumped across into the British vessel, and someone tossed a grenade into the gunpowder hold of the British vessel, and pretty soon the British surrendered, and the Americans took over their ship and watched the Bonhomme Richard sink. One of the greatest naval battles, "I have not begun to fight." I have not yet begun to fight. Have you ever felt like the devil was asking you to give up? Go back to Egypt, throw in the towel. "I am not going to make it. I give up. I surrender." You and I have a captain, praise God, and he says, "Surrender? You haven't seen anything yet. I have not begun to fight." My last story is the best story yet. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus probably reached the lowest point of his earthly existence. The devil was pressing his soul down with discouragement, despair, and depression. Did Jesus ever get discouraged and depressed? Yes, he did. This is from the book of Desire of Ages, Christ's Agony. When Jesus was in the garden, the devil crowded clouds of depression and discouragement on him. He said, "You are bearing the sins of the world. It is so offensive to your heavenly Father, you will never see him again. You are entering the second death and you will never come out." Would that depress you? You bet. And Jesus was so crushed with this thought, he was in agony. He woke up his closest three disciples three times and said, "Pray with me, please." His own closest friends went to sleep on him in the darkest hour. Separated from his friends, separated from his Father, bearing the sins of the world, sins that he did not commit, and wow, that is a heavy load. Talk about depressing, discouraging. He was about to suffer the most painful, miserable death that had been devised by men. Would you be discouraged? And he is doing this for those that don't even appreciate it. Snubbed. And while he is in this situation, what did Jesus do? He prayed. What is one of the most important things that you and I can do when discouraged? Pray, with capital letters. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, he gave a little parable for those who might be inclined to give up. He told about the widow who was being tormented by her adversary. The word adversary translates the devil, same word. And she went to this unjust judge, and she said, "Deliver me from my adversary." But he wouldn't. But she kept on coming. Pretty soon he got tired of her and said, "I better take care of her or she is going to wear me out." And Jesus said, "If an unjust judge will hear the prayer of this widow, how much more will your righteous, just Father in heaven answer the prayers of those who cry out to him day and night?" So when you are discouraged, he said, "Do not give up. Do not despair praying." And Jesus, how often did he pray in the garden there? Three times. But let me put it this way. He prayed until his prayer was answered. How often did Elijah pray for the rain to come? Seven times. Let me say it another way. He prayed until the rain came. He didn't give up. And the Bible tells us when Jesus prayed the third time, angels came and ministered unto him. He was braced and fortified by God for the venture ahead of him. Quote from The Desire of Ages, page 694, Christ's agony did not cease. Sometimes God will take away your discouragement and depression, but your situation may not change. I want to repeat that. Sometimes God will take away your discouragement and depression, but your situation may not change. Did you catch that? God can lift your spirit without changing circumstances, but Jesus' depression and discouragement left him. Was he depressed and discouraged? Yes. The storm in no way had abated. But Jesus, who was the storm's object, was strengthened to meet its fury. He came forth calm and serene. A heavenly peace rested on his blood-stained face. He had borne that which no human could have ever bore. He tasted the sufferings of death for every man. His situation was not taken away from him. He knew, even though he could not see his Father, that he was going to come through. He was going to trust his Father who had never, never failed him. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. If Christ could bear these discouraging, depressing situations by prayer and by trusting what he could not see, then that is what you and I should do. When we are discouraged, pray. Pray for God's presence. Remember the promises. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you even though you do not see me. I will bring you through. If you learn that lesson, we can be saved through being discouraged by any situation. The circumstances may not change. Sometimes your change of attitude may change the circumstances. Our depression may just accumulate the way things are, but no matter the situation, God can see you through. Amen. He has never left you. God will never forsake you. God will never forsake you. All you that come to Jesus, he will never let go of you. But sometimes we do let go of him, don't we? He will never, never let go of us. This was Christ's lesson for us when we deal with discouragement. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus, for your words of encouragement that will help us through despair, discouragement, and depression. And we look forward to being with you. And even though we cannot see it, by faith we accept you and we believe and we want to be with you forever. We ask the same thing that the thief on the cross asks. We want to be with you. We need you. In thy holy name, amen.